if we could have some people stay behind tonight and help us set up tables. We have our big event this Saturday, our ladies' tea, and we're going to have probably over 130 women there, over 140 or 145. It's going to be awesome. So every year it's gotten bigger. So if we can just have some people stay back and help us set up the tables, that would be great. We would greatly appreciate it. And we're glad you're out here on a Wednesday night. Everybody have a good Resurrection Day. Amen. We had over 90 people here on Sunday, which was awesome. Praise God. I believe that's going to be a regular thing. Amen. We got to break into the hundreds. We got to be running the hundreds every week. Amen. So we're glad. And we're going to pray over our offering. Here at VCF, we receive our tithes and offerings. You can give it any time during the service. And if you make a check, just make it out to VCF. And we have a container in the back. We call that our seed planter. Amen. You know, have you ever noticed that seeds don't grow unless they're planted? I mean, you could just have a seed sitting on top, and it's not really going to do too much, but it's got to get in the soil. So we have opportunities for you to get your seed into the soil. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have blessed us and you have enabled us to give. So, Father, we give, and it shall be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You will cause men to give into our bosom. I bless every giver and every gift, Father. We receive it into your kingdom, and may you be honored and glorified, and may your kingdom be increased in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready for the word this evening? I'd like you to go to the book of 1 John chapter 5. And I'm simply going to call this tonight, Your Victorious Faith. Why don't you say this with me? Say, I have victorious faith. And you may say, what is that? Well, we're going to find out what that is and how we can operate that in our life. Amen? Amen? But in 1 John chapter 5, we're going to go ahead and begin with verse 1 and read through verse 5. Notice it says, whosoever, who's he talking to? He's talking to anybody. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, then you are born of God. And that's the only way to get into his family is to be born into his family. And everyone that loves him, that begot, loves him also that is begotten of him. So if you love God, you're going to love Jesus. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Did you know that God's commandments are not grievous? That's an important thing to know. God's not going to put anything on you more than you can handle. And then verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. So if you're born of God, you have overcoming DNA in your genes. Amen? And you overcome the world or the world system. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So you have overcoming, victorious, conquering faith. Your faith is not weak, but it is an instrument by which we overcome the world. How many know that there are some things in this world to overcome? And our faith is the victory. Notice it didn't say that's going to overcome, did it? Your faith overcomes the world. And it's an awesome thing. Jesus showed us how to live by faith. He showed us how to have the victory. And in other words, The New Living Translation says, every child of God defeats this evil world by trusting Christ to give you the victory. Do you trust Christ this evening? How many know that no matter what problem you face, no matter what enemy is attacking you, no matter what situation you may find in life, your faith has the ability to overcome and gain the victory over each of those situations. There's no foe that can defeat you. And as we know, there's no tomb that can keep you, right? There's no valley that can hold you down. There's no mountain too high that you can't get through or remove it altogether. Amen? You have victorious faith. I want you to see yourself as a champion tonight. You know, Muhammad Ali, he called himself a champion before he ever got into the ring. He had a champion mentality. And I want you to have a champion mentality according to God's word. You know, after all, when people look for horses, they look at the bloodline. They follow the bloodline. Now, we've been born of a bloodline that overcomes death, hell, and the grave. There is no losers in God's family. Because the minute you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you win. And we win by faith. What does it mean to have overcoming, victorious faith? It means that God gives you the strength and the ability to overcome. Not to be overcome, but to overcome. You're an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe it? Because really, the key to this all is what you believe about it. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe what he says, you know, people who don't believe, they don't overcome. If you want to overcome, you've got to believe. And you've got to believe God's word. Go with me to John 16, the Gospel of John 16, verse 33. Jesus spoke these words. John 16, verse 33, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Why does it say might? You've got to believe. You've got to believe he's the Prince of Peace. You've got to believe that he'll give you the peace that passes understanding, that'll keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Okay? In me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Don't we all know that? We live in this world, right? Has anybody here never at all, ever, ever, ever had any trouble in their life? We have all had trouble. In the world you shall have tribulation or trouble. But notice what he said. But be of good cheer. Put a big smile on your face. The bigger the trouble, the bigger the victory. The bigger the giant, the bigger they fall, or the harder they fall, right? Jesus said, yeah, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know why he told us that? Because we could do it just like he did it. The way that Jesus overcame is the way that we need to overcome. Because when we put our faith in him, we get all the things necessary to do what he did. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 6. This is good news. You are of God, little children. And what? Did you know that if you just got born again yesterday, you are an overcomer? You are of God, little children, and have, notice that's past tense, have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Say, in me is God's greatness. Amen. You've got God's greatness on the inside of you. You overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, I encountered a guy in my hometown one time in Illinois, and we tried to get him to say this verse. And three times he said, he who is in me is greater and he's in the world. Because he was involved in witchcraft and other things, so he couldn't say this verse right because he was operating in the world. And he told my friend and I, we were witnessing to some people, and he looked at us and he said, you get your spirit warriors. He said, I've got mine, and I'll meet you in center field of the baseball diamond. Well, me and my friend, we were zealous, but we lacked wisdom. Amen? And we went, and we were trying to witness to him, but he pounced on my friend and kind of pinned him to the ground, and so we just had to exercise our authority, and then after a few minutes, he let us go, or he let my friend go, and then we just went ahead and went on doing what we were doing. But thank God that we have an overcoming on the inside of us. You can overcome every demon in hell. I'll tell you a story of one time when I was in Fort Worth, Texas. The church that I went to in Illinois, we would go on these crusades. They bought two Greyhound buses, and they would go to the inner cities of the major cities. And I just felt like I needed to fast and pray these few days. And so I was fasting and praying, and we would have a conference or a rally in the afternoon, and then we would go out into the worst part of the inner city at night, and we would set up music, and we would cover about a 2 or 3 block radius, and as the music played, we would witness to people as they came out. Well, this person came to me. He was a young Christian, and he said, well, how are you with demons? And I said, well, I've dealt with them before. And so he showed me to this. It was a corner building with an iron fence around it, you know, kind of like a high rise. It was obviously, there were several people that lived in the building. And there was this guy there. And just out of the clear blue, I didn't even think about it. I went up to this fence and I pointed at him and I said, the devil's a liar. It just came out of me. And he says, oh yeah, I'm coming out there. So he comes through the front gate and he comes to where I am. He's here and I'm here. And he's growling at me. I'm like, but you got to understand, I have overcoming on the inside of me. And literally, he tried to kick me, but his foot was stopped in midair with no one else around us. That was an angel. And finally, we went back and forth, and we weren't getting anywhere. And I said, finally, in the name of Jesus, I said, you need to go. He just went like this. Oh, like you deflated a tire. He just went back and sat down behind the fence. But you know what? We have overcoming faith on the inside of us. Amen? God has designed your faith to overcome. Your faith is strong to take on any challenge. There's no challenge that you can't face, that you can't overcome through Jesus Christ. Now, you can't do it on your own. All right? Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. So you've got to do it God's way with his methods. Romans 12:21, you don't have to turn there, but it says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Did you know that you can overcome evil with good? Amen. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And we're going to look at an example of someone that had overcoming faith. Now here's our 8 things that God showed me that are kind of elements of overcoming faith. I'm going to give these to you, and then you're going to see them in the examples that we use. All right? These are some key elements of victorious faith. Number one, you need to have knowledge of God, His Word, and His will. You need to have knowledge of God, His Word, and His will in order to have overcoming faith. Amen? You need to know something that God said. You need to know something that God wants you to have. So you've got to have knowledge of God, His will, and His Word. All right, number two, a second element of victorious faith is God's Word must be communicated to you in some way. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing what? Faith, did you know that faith doesn't come from testimonies? The Bible doesn't say that faith came by testimonies. It comes by hearing God's Word. How many want to drink muddy water? Why don't you want to drink muddy water? Because you don't know what's in there. It may harm you. All right? You want to drink water that comes from a pure source. That's why you need to have the Word of God communicated to you in some way, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's Word. You will not have victorious faith if God's Word is not involved in any way. God's Word must be involved in some way. It must be communicated to you in some way. Number three, you must accept God's Word as the only way. You must believe it to be absolutely true. You must find it trustworthy to stand on, be held up by, and practiced in daily living. I'll give you that again. You must accept God's Word as the only way. You got to think of God's Word like a parachute when you're jumping out of a plane, right? When you jump out of a plane, you have nothing to trust in but your parachute. Okay? So you got to make God's Word your parachute. Okay? You must accept it. God's Word is the only way. Believe it to be absolutely true. Find it trustworthy to stand on, be held up by, and practice in daily living. You got to be able to trust God's Word to hold you up. Okay? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew that they could face a fiery furnace because they knew that God's Word would hold them safe even in a furnace. They could go into a furnace with confidence in God because they had some information about God that they knew that no matter what they faced, they're going to come out on top. Amen? The fourth element that God showed me, faith is released through some action that demonstrates and reinforces what you believe. You're not going to have victorious faith without any action. Because you have to have corresponding action in order to demonstrate and reinforce what you believe. You ever read Hebrews 11? Why don't you go through that chapter and underline how many action words there are? They're all action words. Every example of faith in Hebrews 11 is connected with an action. All right? So faith is released through some action that demonstrates and reinforces what you believe. Number five, your heart and your mouth must agree 100% about what God said and what His will is. If there's any dissension between your mouth and your heart, then your faith will not work properly. It's like a half-baked bread. You ever had half-baked bread? It's got that crusty outside, but when you bite into it, it's like raw dough and it's chewing. It's like, huh! It just simply means it wasn't in the oven long enough. Your heart and your mouth must agree 100% about what God said and what God's will is in order to have victorious faith. Because with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made. So they got to work in sync. They've got to work together. They've got to be in agreement. Your mouth and your heart. All right? How many know that you can say one thing in your mouth but have something different in your heart? Now, we as human beings, we can never know what's in a person's heart. Only God knows. All right? So, but God knows exactly what's in our heart. He knows what our motives are. What did God look for when he wanted a king? Did he look for his physique or for his intelligence or for his skill as a warrior? No, he looked to the heart. He looked to the hidden thing. Okay? Number six, your faith produces results and it does not expire until it manifests what you desire. Even if it takes 25 years to have a son. How many know that God's word was true the 25th year just as it was true the first year when God spoke to Abraham? Right? God's word did not expire. It did not fail to produce, but Abraham had to overcome some things. So your faith doesn't expire until it manifests what you want it to or what you desire. Number seven element of victorious faith. Faith pleases God, and he will abide by your faith. He will allow your faith to set the parameters of how you want his power to manifest. What did he say with the woman with the issue of blood? He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." What did he say about the centurion when the centurion said, "Don't come over my house, just speak the word"? He said, "Great faith. I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel." So that tells me that the woman with the issue of blood and the centurion were allowed, their faith was allowed to set the parameters of what happened to them. Okay? And then number eight, the eighth element of victorious faith, faith always has a joyful, expecting, and peaceful disposition. Faith doesn't wear a frown. I'm believing God. It's like saying, "Go ahead, God, make my day." No, faith always has a joyful, expecting, and peaceful disposition. Faith is at rest. Okay? When you're operating in faith, there's no toil connected with faith. Peter said, "I've toiled all night, but I've caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it." He just let down his net, and he caught more fish than his boat could handle. So those are eight elements of victorious faith, and I will go over those again. So in 1 Samuel 14, let's start with verse 1. This is a story about victorious faith. "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side,' but he told not his father." Now, how many people are we talking about here? Two, right? You know, by yourself, you can't do a whole lot, but when you're with someone else, your efforts are multiplied. Okay? And Jonathan wanted to go to a garrison, a Philistine fort, where there's probably more than two Philistines. Okay? And verse 2, "And Saul tarried into the uttermost part of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. So no one knew that he was gone, even though he had 600 men that he could have used. It's kind of like witnessing when you go out two by two, right? And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on this on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And you don't have to worry about what those names are. Okay? So here was this garrison that was in between two sharp rocks. It almost seemed impenetrable. It almost seemed like no one could attack this place with a good advantage. But how many know that faith doesn't see obstacles? Faith sees opportunities. Every obstacle that faith encounters is an opportunity to see, to believe God and to watch Him work. Okay? And the forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." Notice he identified his enemy as uncircumcised. Let me just tell you what that is in a nutshell. It's someone that does not have a covenant with God. David called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. All right? So he is already setting the tone of a faith battle. How many know that faith calls the enemy what he is? He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. How many know that you can call Satan what he is? Because what he is reveals what he does. Okay? So Jonathan was identifying his enemies as uncircumcised. Okay? Then he goes on. And it may be that the Lord will work for us. Notice what he said. For there is no restraint. Or you might say there's no limit to the Lord to save by many or few. It didn't matter how many men would have been with Jonathan. He wasn't trusting in men. He was trusting in God. He knew something about God. He knew that there was no limit to God. He knew that impossibilities with God become possible. So he made this statement. What's he doing? He's expressing what's in his heart. Right now, we're seeing that Jonathan's heart and mouth are in agreement. They agree that there's no limit to God. God can win with 2, or God can win with 1,000, or God can win with 50,000. It doesn't matter. The numbers don't really matter for God. Look at Gideon. Gideon had 300 men against an innumerable army. How could that be? Because God was with him. How could Abraham's 318 servants take on 4 armies of 4 kings? Because God was with him. Amen? When you operate in faith, you already trump the enemy. You already have the victory. You already win. You just got to show up and you've already won. Okay? Verse 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in your heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with you according to your heart." You know what? You just need some people who are for what's in your heart. You need some people who trust you because of what's in your heart. Amen? This armor bearer, he had respect for Jonathan because he respected what was in his heart, what was in his character. He respected how he lived. He respected what he stood for. And this armor bearer said, "I'm with you." Amen? And God is saying to everyone in faith, God is saying, "I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Okay? So this armor bearer, they're in agreement. Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them." In other words, we're going to show ourselves to them. Listen, faith isn't afraid to reveal itself. Faith doesn't operate in secret. Faith is bold. Faith is open, because faith is really confidence in God. Faith has nothing to hide. Faith doesn't have anything to be ashamed about. And we're going to see that when you operate in faith, you will actually overcome shame. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to who? to all who believe. You got to believe. Say, I believe God. Okay. And here's what Jonathan said. Now he's setting the parameters of what's going to happen. He said, if they say to us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign to us. Okay? So he sets the parameters. When we show ourselves, if the Philistine says, hey, stay there and we're going to come to you, then we're going to hold our place. But if they said, hey, come to us, then that is an invitation to whoop them. Amen? You know, faith doesn't back down from a fight that God leads you into. What kind of fight does faith have? Fight the good fight of faith. How do you do that? You lay hold to eternal life. You profess a good confession before many witnesses. And that's how you fight the good fight of faith. Okay? So they showed themselves, verse 11, and the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. See, because a lot of Israelites were hiding from the Philistines at this time because the Philistines were there to oppress them. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed upon his hands and upon his feet. Why? The rocks were sharp. See, he had faith to even climb the jagged rock. All right? This is Jonathan putting his faith into action. This is the action that Jonathan's taking to show and to demonstrate that what he believes is real. Because you cannot have faith without action. Faith without works is what? Dead. And dead faith doesn't get you anything. Because dead faith doesn't do anything. Dead faith doesn't say anything. Dead faith is just stiff. Immovable. So he's crawling on his hands and his feet. And his armor bearer after him. Now his armor bearer had to carry his armor. And if I remember correctly, they didn't have many weapons at this time. There was only a few people that had swords, I think. Because the Philistines had made them beat their weapons into agricultural tools. And his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. So 2 versus 20. And they killed 20 men. All right? See, when you operate in faith, it's going to produce results. Amen? But there was a lot of things that was happening before they engaged the enemy. The principles that I gave to you earlier were working in this situation. Okay? Within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. So if you're familiar with acres, a half acre of land, okay? Jonathan and his armor bearer killed 20 men. Now, look, when you operate in faith, God will abide by your faith. He will get on your side because faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because you got to believe that he is and you got to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice what happens in verse 15. And there was a trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison, and the spoilers, or the raiders, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. All God needed was two people who believed him and who were willing to step out in faith, and God will back anyone up who steps out in faith. God never forsakes faith, ever. And there was a trembling, there was an earthquake. God says, "Whoa, you go, Jonathan, you go, armor bearer, I'm with you." And verse 16, and the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. If God be for you, who can be against you? No one. And they went on beating down one another. The enemy started to melt away, and they started to beat on one another. And so Saul took notice. He said, number the people now, and let me know who's missing. They numbered, and behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw your hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. In other words, because of the faith action, the victorious faith that Jonathan and his armor bearer had, they were on a secret faith mission. Nobody knew that they were gone. They didn't broadcast it to anyone. They were just going to go and do what God wanted them to do. God just needed someone who was willing to be in faith. And he didn't look at the jagged rocks. He didn't send spies to see how many soldiers were at the garrison. It didn't matter. Jonathan knew something about God. He knew that when he steps out with God, he will always be victorious, no matter the odds. And Jonathan stepped out, and he did what he did, and God did what he did. Amen? That's what you call victorious faith. It changed the whole entire battle scenario. And then if you read on, the Israelites heard that the Philistines were fleeing, and they all started to come out of the rocks. Let me tell you something. People want to follow faith. People want to follow faith because faith acts, faith does, faith has results, and people want to they want to hook up with something that has results. So the Hebrews started to get in on this. It's an example of victorious faith. Jonathan had faith that overcame the world. The Philistines, they represent the world, the world system. They represent the enemy. But Jonathan had faith in God to overcome. He was an overcomer. He was a conqueror. He was successful. It didn't matter what the endeavor. It didn't matter what the challenge. It didn't matter what the problem. How many know faith in God answers every problem? It quiets every enemy. It removes barriers and obstacles. You can move mountains by faith. Go with me to the book of Jonah. Go to Jonah chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. What came to Jonah? The word of God was communicated to him, wasn't it? And God had an instruction for Jonah. Go to Nineveh and preach. How willing was Jonah to go the first time he heard that? And we know that he had the first submarine ride. Right? And after some heavenly persuasion, Jonah changed his mind and he decided to do what God said. How many know it's better to obey God than to try to resist him? God may be speaking to some of you to do something. Well, you better do it. Amen? You better do it. Okay, verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He was in agreement with God's word now. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into a city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So that was his action that he took to demonstrate and show that what he believed was true. He had to walk 3 days through the city proclaiming this message. All right? So the people of Nineveh, what did they do? They heard the message, right? That God was going to destroy the city. So what did they do? They repented. They believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed or drink water. Now this king was serious. He had a revelation that he didn't want his city to be destroyed. How are you going to overcome a message of destruction? You're going to do it by faith, because we have our faith overcomes the world, right? See, here's how God's mercy works. Yes, Nineveh was judged. And in 40 days, if they didn't make any changes, their city was going to be destroyed and everyone in it. So God sends his mercy in the form of Jonah. He sends his prophet to go in and to tell the people, to give them an opportunity to repent. God will always bring mercy before judgment. Don't be fooled to think that this nation that we're in now is done. Amen? Because before judgment comes, there will be a mercy. There will be a crier crying in the streets saying, repent, repent, turn to the Lord. Amen? And verse 8, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Why did they do this? They believed God. They believed what Jonah said. They believed that their city would be destroyed, so they put their trust in God. They stopped doing wickedness and started doing what's right in God's sight. And verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Verse 10, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. They overcame destruction by having faith in God. They chose to believe God, and their actions that demonstrated what they believed was the king took off his royal robe and he put on sackcloth and he issued a decree that everybody's going to fast and not eat food and not drink water, and they're going to cry out to God. And they took some serious action because they had to make some serious changes. But they overcame destruction, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith was designed to help you overcome any situation you face. Maybe you lack provision in your life. Maybe you've got more bills on your table than you have money in your bank account. Can God provide for you? Well, I have seen this. People who were facing the most extreme financial circumstances, But amidst of those circumstances, they kept giving and giving and giving. They would give their tithes. They would give their offerings. And I've seen God do great miracles. If you believe God provides, then you better have faith enough to give. And there was a big hush over the crowd. So quiet you could hear everybody swallow deeply. Why is it when you talk about money, everybody gets quiet? They'd be like, you ain't getting none of my money. You know what? I'm not after your money. But I do want what God wants to add to your account. Amen? What do you need God to do for you in your life? Do you need to be healed? Well, the action that you might need to take may simply declare that you are healed by his stripes. I'll give you a quick example because I'm ready to close. I was in New Zealand in 93. We went to Fiji in New Zealand. My parents went to Italy that year, so I missed going out to Italy. Instead, I was on a missions trip to Fiji in New Zealand. And when we were in New Zealand, we were at this market, and I just felt really upset in my stomach, like I was going to, you know, a nauseated feeling, and it just wouldn't leave. So just like I'm doing right now, I was walking around this market for about half an hour, 40 minutes, and I just kept saying, Lord, I just thank you that you're my healer. All the while, I'm feeling like I want to, you know, I won't go into detail, but you get the picture. And I'm walking around, I'm just declaring, I said, I'm not even doing it out loud, I'm just whispering. Lord, I thank you that you're my healer. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your word and healed me. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. And after about a half an hour, that nauseating feeling that I have, it completely left. See, because you got to let the Holy Spirit tell you what action you need to take. You can't just do what someone else did and think you're going to get the same results because God may have told them to do that, but he didn't tell you to do that. See, and if you're doing what someone else did, then you're putting faith in people and not in God. God wants you to have faith in him and in him alone. You can't mix your faith with God and with the opinion of others. You can't mix your faith with God and with what other people say. You can't mix what God says with how you feel. Faith has nothing to do with feelings, and oftentimes, faith will disagree with what your feelings. And you've got to choose. Are you going to go by faith, or are you going to go by your feelings? Peter didn't feel like throwing his net again. He certainly didn't feel like it. But he did it because God said it. And when he said it, when he did what God said, he got the results that God wanted him to have. It's very simple. Everyone's here. You're here tonight, not by coincidence, but you're here by divine design. God knew who was going to be here tonight. And I didn't know what I was going to preach on until this afternoon when I was at the YWAM base in Lebanon because they wanted, there's a team going to Guyana in May, and they wanted me to talk to them about Guyana and answer questions. And, you know, Fiona was here. Because she's getting things ready for this weekend. And so, but I took my dad though. My dad went with me and we had a good time. So what do you need God to do for you tonight? Amen? I want you to stand up. And I want you to think about the situations that you're facing currently in your life. Maybe it's a situation at work. Maybe it's a situation at home. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your body. Maybe it's in your relationships. And there's something that you need to demonstrate what you believe God said about your situation. First of all, what is God's will for your situation? Is it God's will for anybody to be sick? No. Sickness doesn't come from God. Sickness comes from sin. It doesn't mean that the person is sinning. It just means that there's sin in this fallen world. And with sin brought sickness. But Jesus, everywhere he went in the Gospels, he was healing people. Everyone that came to him was healed. Everyone that believed him was healed. Now, there were people that didn't believe him. So what do you need to do in your life right now to change your situation? You have victorious faith. You have overcoming faith. And you might just need to take a simple action of declaring what God said. Did you know that speaking God's word may be the only action you need to do to change your situation? The Roman centurion, only speak the word, Lord. He could have had Jesus lay hands on his servant, but that's not what he believed. He said he understood authority. So he said, all you got to do is speak. And he knew that when Jesus spoke, the universe would listen. So Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you right now. And Father, we rid ourselves of all our experiences, all of our religious mindsets. And Father, we receive the engrafted word which is able to save our soul. We desire the pure milk of the word which we can grow by in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to lead and guide and direct us by the Holy Spirit as to what we need to do to change our situation in the name of Jesus. Some of you, if you don't change your course, you will be destroyed. If you don't change your course, you will be destroyed. God gives you ample opportunity to change, but you got to be the one to change. You got to be the one to embrace change. You cannot have it your way and God's way. Eventually, you can't serve two masters. You got to make a choice. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to commit to? And you got to have actions that demonstrate and reinforce what you believe. Now, there is freedom here tonight. There's an anointing here tonight. The Bible says that the anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. Maybe some of you are burdened, maybe some of you are yoked, and we need to destroy those burdens and yokes right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Sickness can be a yoke. Lack can be a yoke. And if there's something that's preventing you from believing God, or there's something that's hindering you from giving all to God or surrendering to God or trusting God, then let's break that yoke on you tonight in Jesus' name. And if you need a yoke broken, and if you need a burden removed in your life, come up right now, because there's an anointing here in the name of Jesus.